Welcome to the Overflow Podcast. We pray you are encouraged by this message. For more info, notes, or other messages, download the Overflow Church app or visit our website at overflowdfw.com.
Hebrews chapter 12 says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." And you are that joy. And in that joy and in that delight that the Lord had, even in the pain and the suffering of the cross, he saw that it was going to be worth it because there was a prize that would be won by him accomplishing what he accomplished on the cross and in the resurrection. And so today, last week, we talked about that we're worthy of the cross. And some people say, "Oh, I'm just not worthy." But he sees you. He sees you as worthy. And I would encourage you to go back and listen last week if you weren't here. On YouTube or something like that, and go and just be reminded of how valuable that God sees you. And that's really what this series is about. It's about the value that God sees in us. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, this is kind of our text for the series. "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Every one of them. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united in Christ, because we have died to our life and now our life is in him. We have this bond, we have this marriage, if you will, with Jesus. We're one in him. And because of that, we have access to every spiritual blessing. Yeah. And some of you have been spending your life disqualifying yourself from what Jesus paid for. We almost call this series Qualified, because you are qualified. You are worthy of it, or he died for nothing. So Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to talk about healing today. And because healing is a core value of the cross. And many people kind of, you know, we'll talk about healing every once in a while. It's not really that big of a deal. If you don't think healing is that big of a deal, then talk to someone that has a disease. And they'll explain to you how healing is such a big deal. And we see how big of a deal it is to God in the suffering of Christ. So Isaiah chapter 53 says, "He was despised and rejected." Oh, we could just preach right there. We live in a culture where we're trying to rebrand Jesus so he'll be accepted and celebrated. Listen, that is not, Jesus doesn't need a new PR campaign. I know that somebody's arrogant enough to think that they do. Listen, the church doesn't need a new PR campaign. Doesn't mean we're doing everything right, but the church has always been messed up. Our message is Christ. And he's always, even in his life, he was despised and rejected. Everyone didn't love Jesus. Right? And it wasn't just even some of his disciples, come on, didn't love Jesus very well. He was despised and rejected. Back to the message, all right. "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief," the deepest grief. "We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet, it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down." You think you're weighed down by your sorrows? He was weighed down by your sorrows. "And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins." That's what we thought. "But he was pierced for our transgressions, for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten," right here, verse 5. "He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." See, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. But God has laid on him the sins or the iniquity of us all. So Jesus takes this suffering for your wholeness. Listen, Jesus didn't go through the cross just to get you into heaven. And this is what many people are content to live with. We will have faith enough. We'll come to Jesus enough so that we'll go to heaven when we die. We check that box, and that's the end of our story. And we go through life living less for what Jesus purchased. Jesus purchased so much more for you, and you have access to so much. There is so much in the heavenly bank, and you're living on pennies. Beloved, Jesus paid a high price for you, not for you to walk in shame, not for you to walk in sickness, not for you to walk in discouragement, not for you to walk in despair. Jesus paid a high price to get your hopes up, to have something to believe in, to have a life to walk out. So the price that Jesus pays here, the brokenness of his body happened through what was called a flogging or a scourging from the Romans. Now, this wasn't exclusive to the Romans. It actually talks about the Jewish people did this. It was the most feared of punishments. It was brutal and inhumane. There's no way it would happen in our world today. And so they would use this whip called a flagrum or a cat of nine tails that was designed. I think we have a picture, and it was designed in a way to quickly remove flesh. And so it would have pieces of metal on there to bring weight to it, and it had chips of bone on there to actually lacerate the skin. And what they would do is they would take the victim or the person that was being punished, and they would have them kind of stretch out around a pillar or a pole. And when they did that, they began to hit them with this cat of nine tails. And so Jesus is taken, again, this is a criminal's punishment. Jesus is taken, not just to the cross, before he goes to the cross, he's taken and he's flogged. So he's stripped naked, in public shame, shackled by his wrist, wrapped around this pole. And listen, he was up all night praying. He's exhausted. He's been in trial. He's not like having a good day. He's not in his best moment. Like he's struggling even before he endures this. So the beating began with lashes reaching to the back and the arms, the shoulders reaching down to the legs and calves. These bits of metal would dig and bone would dig deep into the flesh, ripping blood vessels, nerves, and muscles. Blows to the upper back and rib area caused severe bleeding, bruising. And this bleeding and bruising, this bleeding could continue into the chest cavity and cause the collapse of lungs. Blood loss, vomiting, tremors and seizures, exhaustion, dehydration, and bouts of fainting are all potential sufferings from a victim that would face this punishment. And many would not survive a flogging. So in the Mosaic Law, they said, well, you can't hit them with more than 40 times, because if you hit them more than 40 times, they'll die. So this is what it said, the Mosaic Law. But it wasn't the Jewish people that flogged Jesus. It was the Romans. And they were way more brutal than the Jewish people. They were way more brutal than the system, than those that were following the Mosaic Law. So we don't really know that Jesus received 40. He could have received far more than that, because it was the Romans who are punishing him. So why did Jesus have his body exposed and ripped open and nerves damaged and suffering and dehydration? Why did Jesus do that? He did it so that you would be healed. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus suffered this to show you that you were worthy of healing. And it's heavy, man. And it's intense, but understand that Jesus went through this physical suffering specifically so that you can walk in wholeness of health. I'm here to convince you today that healing is available, and not just available, it's promised to you. Let me dig into some false assumptions concerning healing, okay? These are we like to disqualify ourselves from God's best. I don't know why we get into this, but for some reason we are always going, well, this isn't happening in my life because of a decision I made 30 years ago. Yeah. Like God is still punishing you because of something that you did that was stupid. We've all done stupid things. And guess how many of those stupid things that God sees when you come to Jesus? Yeah. Not one of them. He can't remember your sins no more. He just can't. And some of you have been repenting for things for 30 years. Yeah. Lord, forgive me of that thing I did. Lord, forgive me of it. He's like, what are you talking about? You did that? I don't remember you doing that. It says he does not remember our sins. So stop bringing them up. Get them before the Lord and walk in victory. Okay, false assumptions concerning healing. Number one, somebody sinned. So I've been prayed for before for healing, and I've had this question asked to me, and I've heard other people tell this story. Do you have any sin in your life? I'm sick, I'm ill, or someone is ill, and the person ministering, our people up here will never say that to you. What's do you have any sin in your life? If someone ever asks you that, go, well, yeah, because you do. And say, do you? Because the fact is we've all got things that we're dealing with. We're not excusing those things. We need to treat them with sobriety. We need to go, oh, man, I don't want to live that way. That's where we need to be. But listen, your sin does not disqualify you from healing. The price that Jesus paid qualifies you for healing. But somebody did sin. His name was Adam, right? And he introduced sickness into the world. Sickness came along with sin. And so some would say, well, God's punishing us because we sin. Can you imagine? I'm a pretty good dad. I know dads that are better than I am, but I'm a pretty good dad. But if my son... If I caught my son doing something that he does, if, you know, like disrespect his parents or something, and which may or may not happen in our house, and I said, you know what? You got sin in your life. Cancer. Depression. You would say, you're not a very good dad. And I wouldn't be a very good dad. Do you think the Father does that when we're sinning? He goes, oh, I don't like the way you're behaving. I'm going to teach you something. Here's a cold. Here's COVID. It's ridiculous. It's insane. So Jesus runs into a scenario where a guy is blind from birth. John chapter 9. By the way, Jesus already was punished for your sins. You're not going to be punished physically for your sins. Jesus was punished physically for your sins. Receive the gospel. So, John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, Jesus, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Okay? He's blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, who sinned, this man or his parents, for he was born blind? Well, obviously, it wasn't him because he was born this way. Jesus says, verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. We need to start looking at the lack of God's promises in our life, not as why is this happening or what do I need to do? We need to start going, I'm qualified to receive God's might in my life, just as he says right here. He's like, this didn't happen because anyone sinned. This happened so that God's goodness might be revealed. So start inviting Jesus into your situations like that where you go, this happened. I don't know why it happened. I'm not really concerned, but I do know this, that I want to see God's goodness displayed. And did you know that it brings your Father pleasure to introduce the kingdom to whatever is against his kingdom? This is the Father's good pleasure. He enjoys coming in and revealing his goodness. You don't have to beg and grapple for it. It's available. All right. So as long as it is a day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then having said this, he spit on the ground and made mud with saliva. Uh-oh. And put it on the man's eyes. Oh, boy. That's going to bring all the religious people out, right? It would have brought me out. Go, he told them. Him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So Jesus spits and makes mud with his spit and wipes it on this guy's eye. Now, I'm all about Jesus doing that, but I don't want anyone else doing it. Right? All right, you're the Lord. You can do this. I'm still not real happy about it, but no one else, all right? So people start finding out about this guy because he has a reputation. He's a blind guy, so he's probably begging. And they had all this unbelief, all this skepticism, all these neighbors that like start hearing about he's healed, and they're like, what? So the Pharisees find out that this guy gets healed. And so they're like, they get kind of frustrated about it because they weren't in on the miracle. Isn't it crazy sometimes how we get territorial with the goodness of God? I have to deal with that a lot of times. I'm like, well, it didn't happen here. Why did it happen there? And I can get a little religious about that. Ugh. It's hard. So the Pharisees get mad, and the reason why they're mad is because it happens on the Sabbath. Like, good things can't happen on the Sabbath. But see, Pharisees always tend to prioritize on preference and process over people. It's just what they do. Well, they didn't do it the way that I wanted them to do it or the way that I think they should do it. And so they put a priority on their method. They'll always scrutinize methods and ignore the results. This is what the religious spirit does. It doesn't look at the end. It just looks at the means. And listen, the means are important. It is important that we do things the right way. But the spirit of skepticism and the Pharisee spirit and the spirit of religion will always go, well, you didn't do it the way that I thought it should be done. Instead of rejoicing in the miracle, they'll scrutinize the process. And the process might have been right. Yeah. Yeah. And it was right because God did it. So they label Jesus a sinner. They're like, who's this guy healing people on the Sabbath? They bring him in. It's basically a hearing. And they're like, hey, who did this? He's like, is this man a sinner? Who does he think he is? They call his parents in. What's going on? We don't know. We don't know anything about it. He's like, well, this guy's healed, and this man Jesus did on the Sabbath, so surely he's a sinner. And so this blind man who is now seeing, he's not a blind man anymore. He's seeing clearly because he was touched by Jesus on the Sabbath. Shady Jesus. And they say, is this man a sinner? He goes, listen, I don't know. I don't know whether he's a sinner, but I know this. I was blind and now I see. And listen, this is where we need to get. I'm not saying that methods aren't important. They're critical. But we have got to get to the place where we are seeking the Lord's fullness happening. And not be... being okay, let me just say this, being okay with making a few mistakes. Because you're seeking an end result. And you haven't done this, but how many people did you lay hands on and pray for and didn't get healed this week or did get healed? Maybe you did something right, maybe you did something wrong, maybe we don't know. Don't scrutinize the process. Just keep going. Well, they're not doing it the way I think they should do it. So we just, you know, walk around and sick people are all around us. We have our hands in our pockets. Lord's like, heal them. This is the deal. The reason why the Lord wants to heal people is because it brings attention to his goodness. God wants his works to be manifest. This is the second thing that people say. First is, hey, they're sinners. Are they a sinner? Number two is somebody doesn't have enough faith. Yeah. Right, we've heard that. Well, if you just believe, right? Let me say this. Faith is absolutely essential. Everything in the kingdom comes down to faith. All of it. But you don't have to have great faith. You just need to have simple faith. You just need to believe because you believe. Faith is kingdom currency. We talk about this a lot. That doesn't mean if you're sick, you don't have faith. That's not what that means. And some have suggested this. I would suggest that the biblical mandate is not the faith of the recipient. But on the faith of the distributor. Did you know that the Great Commission does not say go and pray for the sick? Or ask God to heal the sick? He said, you go heal the sick. Now we know that God does it through his Spirit. By his Spirit, through his people. We know it's all him. But we get to, I've talked to people before. And they want to, I'm like, do you want to correct the Bible? And they're like, well, God did it. He laid hands on me and I got healed. This man healed me. He's a healer. No. Jesus is the healer, right? And it's like we kind of ignore where Jesus is like, go heal him. And obviously we want to get things right. We understand where the power came from. But we're called. If Jesus told you to go and heal the sick, don't you think he would give you the power to do it? Right? He's not gonna send you to school without the books. James 5 says this, if any of you are sick, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray for you. That's what we did today. Anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And he says, such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Will. Not might. Will. This is a mandate in Scripture. This is something that we need to be practicing. And the Lord will make you well. And this is the deal. When people didn't have faith, so there's a guy in Mark chapter 9, we quote this a lot. There's a guy that has a demon-possessed son, and Jesus is like, do you believe I can heal him? And he's like, yeah, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because you know what? Whenever you come to the Lord with that prayer, when you say, Lord, I do believe, but help where I don't believe, he goes, all right, I'll help you. Because it's in that moment that you actually put trust in him and not in your faith. Because some people have faith in their faith. Don't have faith in your faith. Have faith in your God. This is why Jesus said it's a seed. Well, that seed has to be planted in good ground. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to have history. It just has to be planted in the right spot. And listen, with your faith, what we're doing in healing is we're just going to trust God for it. Not saying that you don't ever go to a doctor or you don't ever take a test or it's not saying any of that. It's just saying, where does your faith lie? Where is it planted? Right. And mustard sized seed faith produces trees. So someone doesn't have enough faith. You have enough faith. You do. Just plant it.
Good.
Are you tracking? You have enough faith. Yeah. I don't have enough faith to get healed. I don't have enough faith. Just plant it.
Yeah.
Plant what faith you have. And if you do have doubt, then just say, Lord, help me with my doubt. And he's going, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Let me help you. Every time I've prayed that, when I'm like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He helps my unbelief.
Right.
And that's exactly what he does to that man. So, the third one is this. God doesn't want to. Or it's not God's will. And this is where we disqualify ourselves many times from healing because we go, well, I guess it just wasn't the will of God. And understand, I understand the tension. We had a service probably 2.5 years ago. And my shoulder had been bothering me. It was my right shoulder. And I messed it up in the gym or something, you know, it's just one of those things of, you know, getting into your 30s. And and other decades. And I remember having that pain in my shoulder. And that night, I kind of plopped over on it. And when I did that, I felt it pop, and it was excruciating. And so I went to church. I was in a lot of, I took some ibuprofen. I was still, you know, in pain. And I'm in service during worship. And I'm just like, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And then boom, my shoulder was totally healed. Nobody else praying for me. It's just a moment of worship. I'm just like, I think the Lord just healed my shoulder. And so the Lord healed my shoulder. I don't know why we're so surprised when God moves. And so I'm like, cool. I have faith for shoulders. Right? So if you have a shoulder injury, let's. But also, I've had a nagging shoulder injury for about probably 4 or 5 months right now. And I'm like, why did it happen in that moment? And it didn't happen in this moment today when I prayed. I don't know. And I think it's okay to live in the tension of I don't know. Because what I do, but I also know this. I do know what the scripture says. I do know what is promised to me. I do know that it is God's will to heal my shoulder. Why it happens, I don't know. And I think it's okay, beloved, if we don't have the answer to that question. Why do some get healed on this side of heaven and others get healed on that side of heaven? Why? I don't know. I've prayed for many who have died of sickness, and I prayed and believed and fasted and had done all the things for them to be healed, and they still died. We live in that tension. But we don't build theology on unanswered prayers. We do not build theology on unanswered prayers. We build theology on what God says about himself and what he provides. And listen, we're not going to break fellowship over this issue. You say, well, I just don't think it's God's will. I can't go back to church. That's a ridiculous thing to not go to a church for. Now, if you think God doesn't heal today, we're probably not the church for you. But if you're like, well, it's just not, we're not going to get all caught up in that. That's silly. These are some objections that this reasoning comes from. Number one, his ways are not our ways, right? That's always bothered me, because in the New Testament, it says his ways are not our ways. And it says, but he has revealed it by his spirit. So it's like, you can understand there's this old covenant life, and then there's this new covenant life, and you're in the new covenant life. And so we just, you know, say goofy things to try to help people cope with what they're going through. And I just think it's like, you can say things that are true and accurate to the scriptures and still give people hope. You don't have to give them answers. Come on. So someone dies and we go, oh, the Lord just needed another angel. Well, first of all, people don't become angels. People are not in heaven watching over us, and you know, all this, it's not. I'm not seeing this in the scriptures. God needed them, and God doesn't need anything. What he needs is for people to believe in his word. That's what he needs. And so listen, let me get this straight. So God has some higher purpose, and he can get more glory out of you not getting healed. Yeah, he's mysterious. But he's not unsearchable. But he's not unapproachable. Or they'll say, it's so funny how people have all these reasons on why God doesn't do something. It's very frustrating. What about Paul's thorn in his flesh? You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul makes a statement. He says, you know, God needs to keep me humble, so there's this thorn in my flesh. And then he says this, it's a messenger from Satan. Right. It's obvious that it is not a physical ailment. He says it's a messenger from Satan. And if you will study it out and you'll learn the history of that, there was actually an antagonist that was following Paul around and showing up at meetings and challenging everything that he did. This was the thorn in the flesh. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to make you have back problems to keep you humble. You know what I found is when people are suffering from things like that, they're not humble because of their ailment. Sometimes people are arrogant because of that, because they go around and they're like, oh, I'm suffering for God. Yeah. That, listen, New Testament suffering, and that's number three. Doesn't God allow suffering? Because suffering teaches us something? Absolutely. Suffering teaches us something. You know what else will teach you something? Victory. Victory will teach you something also. So it's not just suffering as the only instructor in your life. We will all face sufferings. We will all face difficulties in this life. But you will not find, beloved, in the New Testament that the sufferings that are referred to there, you will not find that them have to do anything to do with sickness, because every single person the disciples prayed for got healed. Every single person that Jesus prayed for got healed. Every person that went to God in the scriptures was healed. All of them. So you can build a theology outside of the Word of God, and you're welcome to it, and just say, God, quit healing people. What? What? When he specifically says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, he doesn't stop. He doesn't change. His identity doesn't change. He is the Lord that heals. Listen, God will make anything, including suffering, make you look more like Jesus. You know what the suffering in the New Testament is talking about? It's talking about persecution. It's talking about being persecuted because you're out getting people healed. And people don't like that. Because you're standing up for values and people are exiling you because of that. Suffering for the gospel. Why would you dishonor those who have suffered for the gospel to say God is teaching you something through sickness? What is your view of God? Who do you think he is? That the Lord would smite you with some sickness. You never see this happen in the New Testament to believers. You never see it. They're not like, God's made me sick. God's made me diseased. Where are you getting this idea of God? Would Jesus do that? No. And Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus is God fully represented. Not one time does it imply sickness or disease in the New Testament, suffering. Not one time. What about Job? First of all, Job is under an old covenant. So there you go. Pretty easy. Understand, listen, I'm not trying to make light of the struggle. I live in that tension all the time. But I pray for healing every time. I don't go, well, Lord. And when people don't get healed, and it happens often, I got to deal with that tension. But I believe God's word. I believe God's word. I choose to believe God's word. So healing is available. God wants to. Healing is our inheritance. Healing is the children's bread. So we're going after it. You know, we don't ever do that with any other issue. We don't look at someone who's bound up in sin and go, well, you know, I guess it's just not the Lord's will to deliver them. Someone unsaved, never come to Jesus. Well, I guess it's just not the Lord's will to forgive them. We would never say that about God. Why do we do this with healing? All right, Luke chapter 5. Jesus runs into this guy with leprosy. And he sees Jesus and he runs to Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he said, Lord, in verse 12, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. He said, you can. I know you can. And Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing. You don't touch people with leprosy. Because if you touch someone with leprosy, they're unclean. And if you touch unclean people, you get unclean. That's old covenant. In the new covenant, you touch unclean things and you stay clean and they also eat clean. Right? I mean, that's the gospel. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. He is willing, beloved. So how do we appropriate healing? How does it happen? How do we see it? Let me give you a few points. Number one, belief. We've talked about this. Everything in the kingdom of God will require faith. Again, you don't have to have 10 years of history in God that muster up enough, quote-unquote, faith to do that. Because we see people healed all the time through the scriptures. I see people healed all the time today that don't have any faith. The only thing that they believe is that God could do that, but you're the one that's praying and you believe. And so oftentimes we'll get a doctor's report and we talk about the doctor's report more than we talk about the scriptures. I'm not saying, did you dismiss the doctor's report? God put that doctor in your life. You need to listen to them. You need to listen to the wisdom. But you need to quit looking at that and start looking at God's book and what God says about your situation and your sickness. You need to go to the Word. Believe the Word. Beloved, let's not be passive about healing. And this is me, because, man, I'm quick to grab the Advil. And I don't think the Lord is mad at this. Listen, the Lord isn't mad, but I do think the Lord sometimes is like, come on. Let's go. It's time. And we're like, ah. And what we lose sometimes with our unbelief is we'll just open, well, Lord, if you want to heal me, just a little token prayers. Or we've been battling something for a long time, and we just kind of stop praying genuine prayers. We just get on autopilot. Well, Lord, today could be the day. Yeah, I understand. Lord, if you want to, you could heal me today. Listen, go after healing. Number two, nurture expectation. Remove the word if from the Lord healing you. If the Lord heals me, start declaring when. When the Lord heals me. Don't listen, all areas. Someone in your family doesn't know the Lord. When they come to the Lord. Not if they come to the Lord. Just start listening. Why? Because you're just nurturing expectation. Right? Listen, we're not blabbing it and grabbing it. You guys know this. But there is strength in positive confession. Because it breeds hope and faith in our heart. So speak and declare. Listen, your words are powerful. So speak and declare the words. Sing the promises of God. Start singing over yourself. Some of y'all aren't real good at speaking and declaring. Just start singing. Some of y'all are really good at singing. Some of you are like me. You're okay. And singing, some of y'all are like really bad at singing. Sing away. Just sing. Right? Sing loud. Just sing it. Start singing your healing. Come on, just get your faith there. Sing the promises. Love it. The second is this: meditate on the word. You say, "Well, what is meditation? I don't know how to do that." You do know how to do it. You do it all the time. It's called worry. Worry is meditation on the wrong thing. That's all worry is. You worried? That's meditating. How about you replace the thing that you're worrying about and start replacing the thing that you're worried about with the Word of God? I shall be saved and my house. The Lord will save my house. The Lord will save my kids. The Lord will heal my children. Again, there are many questions on why God has and hasn't healed. But what needs to dominate our mind is that we are worthy of the healing of Jesus. That he paid a price 2,000 years ago for us to walk in healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we value power. God is moving today. Number three, steward wholeness. Steward wholeness. Other words, listen, if you're smoking a pack of cigarettes every day, or you're drinking like 4 Red Bulls every day, or you're eating like chicken fried steak like 6 times a week, it's probably an indicator that you're not stewarding wholeness. And then we'll go, well, I'm just ill. Well, you're putting poison in your body.
That's good preaching.
Thank you. Listen. If you're at a job where you're sitting for 8 hours, get up and move around. I had these crazy back problems for like a year and a half. And so last spring when we got the building, I was on my feet all the time, like all the time, running around. And notice, even though I'm lifting things and doing things that I'm not supposed to do because my back is messed up, I found out that, you know what, part of the problem with my back being messed up is I'm sitting on my butt. I don't have much of a butt, but I was sitting on what's there. And it was messing, probably why, and it was messing my back up. And so I started stretching and I started doing stuff. It's not because I wasn't like, Lord, just heal my back. I was praying those prayers, but I was also stewarding wholeness. Come on. I was also doing a good job of taking care of the body that God had given me. Come on. So It would be like saying, Lord, make me fruitful. Make me fruitful. And you never read your Bible. You never pray. Lord, heal my body. Lord, heal my body. Mickey D's. I don't know why you would ever eat that, but some of y'all do. All right. Number four, pray. Listen, pray. Don't do this. Well, the Lord could heal me. No, pray. Go after it. So Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And this is a declaration. By the way, if you will study on the Greek, it's a declaration. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the Greek, it's like this. Kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not a, well, Lord, if you would just allow your will. No, we're saying the will of God. We're declaring the will of God will be present on the earth just like it is in heaven. In heaven, are there sick people? No. So what's the Lord's will on the earth? As in heaven? There are no cancer patients in heaven. There are a lot that used to be cancer patients. But this is the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. So the vision of the kingdom of God, the joy of the kingdom of God, is that the earth would reflect heaven. Come on. This transcends your physical healing. This goes into your emotional healing. We'll talk about that next week. This is the full gospel. Listen, do you understand that the primary thing that Jesus used during his ministry was healing people? I mean, healing always opened the door for the gospel. Look at the disciples in the book of Acts. It's just people are getting healed left and right. And we're sitting around going, well, I don't know if healing is for today. Listen, we can preach healing without the gospel, but you can't preach the full gospel without healing. It is included in the gospel. You cannot separate healing from the gospel. If so, you're not preaching the gospel of the scriptures. You're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Yeah. Heal the sick. Yeah. Raise the dead. Yeah. Cure those with leprosy. Cast out demons. Give as freely as you've received. Yeah. So Jesus says, I've given you power over all these things. Go. Heal them. Free them up. Psalm 107. We got that? This is what the psalmist says way before the cross. Lord, help. They cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their diseases. He sent out his word. He sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from death's door. Yeah. He sent his word. Yeah. Yeah. He's given you a scripture, and he's given you these scriptures, but how many of you know that Jesus is the word? So when the Lord sent Jesus, he sent Jesus not to forgive you of your sins. Absolutely. Thank you for redemption. Thank you that I can be in right relationship with God. Thank you that I can be at peace with God. But he didn't just send his word to forgive you. He sent his word, Jesus, to heal you of your diseases, to heal you of your sickness, to heal you of your ailments, to heal you of that shoulder. Come on.